Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 13th of July, recording at 8:12 British Summer Time. Well, let's start with stock markets here. Bit of a mixed day overall. Now, put you in the picture, the Asian markets, which have outperformed recently, remember they were weaker from January, most of the, certainly the emerging Asian markets, which are leaders, were weaker from January into, I think, into June, but have been firmer subsequently, so that's a positive indicator overall. Now, they're currently a little bit overbought and are consolidating those gains, ranging quite steadily, and Japan has been better still. Now, the European markets and the North American markets have well, they're still mostly down on the year, but they had outperformed emerging Asia from January through June. But they've seen a sell-off recently. As you know, they fell back from the higher side of their trading bands, which have confined price activity this year, and are a little bit oversold on a short-term basis. But we certainly haven't seen anything reminiscent of an upward dynamic in here, and I think that would take some surprisingly good news. Now, what might that be? Well, we've got some big earnings reports coming out during the rest of the week, but I would be surprised if that was a catalyst for anything major. The other factor is the price of oil. Now, you know my view on this. Most of the world's oil analysts, or at least economists who come forward and pontificate on oil on what Peter Bennett calls Tout TV, they're reassuring us that the oil price is going to fall back towards $30 a barrel, or perhaps even lower. I think they're referring to the NYME price, that's the spot U.S. crude price, which is $39.54 as I speak. Now, I feel that that's wishful thinking, and judging from the chart action overall, while I've maintained in recent weeks that a medium-term consolidation was underway for oil, there's a fair amount of underlying support. And so I just don't buy the story that we're going to go back to oil that's, say, 25% cheaper than what we actually see in here today. And there's still a danger that we get a spike on the oil price on the upside. Now, it just seems, in terms of stock market sentiment, that they're on the oil standard here in the very short term. So when oil pushes towards, let alone above, the $40 a barrel level, then stock markets soften, at least the European and U.S. markets do. And when oil comes down, they tend to firm a bit. And that's exactly what we've seen in here today. I mean, oil's virtually unchanged in here today, but the range on the day was $39.90, and when it was up there, stock markets were at the bottom end of their range, and when it dropped down to $39.10, they were firmer. So my view overall is that we're going nowhere but sideways to eventually down on these European markets. I don't think they're going North American markets. I don't think we're going to get a savage downside move, although we could. And the one factor that makes me feel that, well, that's a little less likely at this stage, is because the Asian markets, which I regard as lead indicators, are somewhat firmer. But then again, I look at what are important lead indicators in my book, at any rate, such as Citigroup for the U.S. and bank sectors generally. The leading banks for all stock markets are important lead indicators. And that is clinging on to support at 45, as you can see on the chart that I posted in Comment of the Day today, but it does look like it's going to break downwards from that level. Now, I believe Citigroup, don't hold me to this, but I think Citigroup is reporting on Thursday, and it really will take a clear upward dynamic on the charts as some surprisingly good news to take the pressure off. But as I said, even if that happens, I don't think it can rally all that much, and that this developing top formation will force it lower overall. So that's how I'm playing it. And then the other factor, I know that, well, people tell me that this service is unique, and I'm the only person who dares to tell people exactly what they're doing with their own money when they do it. Tell them why they're doing it, what their view is on the market, and then exactly what they're doing with their own money. And because I'm going away on a long cycling holiday in August, I am reining in positions a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to go liquid or something like that. I'm not that nervous. And besides, I like to have something, or I like to think that something's going to be helping me to pay for all those big bills that that even a cycle trip will create. All those restaurants and lovely classy B&Bs that we'll stay in. Okay, but I'm digressing. And so I'm just reducing some positions overall. For instance, yesterday I halved my NASDAQ short position, taking the profit on that. And I also took a small profit on my remaining the quarter of a short position that I'd put on in May. And I covered three quarters of it in June, and near the lower side of the range, taking profits on it, of course. I had not gotten out of one quarter of it for some daft reason, and saw the thing rally all the way back up, and it came back. But it was still in the trading range, so I wasn't too worried about it. It came all the way back down. Okay, fine. Could pull it out at a small profit, and did so. And I'm looking to lighten more on these because I've had several short forays in this market this year, in terms of hedging my long positions and then being able to take profits for the most part on those hedge positions. And therefore, I feel that that's helped me sufficiently so that I can go away with some of my pension fund longs, mainly in Japan and the Asian emerging markets. And I'm also playing the mining shares, which took a little bit of a hit in here today on the US trade deficit figures, which were below what people had expected. And that sector is so sensitive to what's going on in the dollar right now. And so if the euro falls a cent, as it did in here today, then they come down, and when it goes up a cent, they rally very strongly, as you know, but they rally more than they come off. And what would be my suggestion to, and a suggestion is as long, as strongly as I'm going to put it, I never tell people what to do. It would be a presumption, and who would I be telling what to do, since the clients are many and diverse in terms of their interests and risk tolerances and so on. But as far as I'm concerned, this is not a time when I want to be aggressive in stock markets. There are trading opportunities, of course, and I try to take advantage of a number of those. But the main thing that I've been doing all year, as you may recall, has been building cash, and that feels good. And in terms of the overall background for the stock market, remember, this is a secular bear trend on Wall Street, or I maintain it is, and I haven't seen anything to suggest otherwise. Okay, looking at bonds in here today, they're softer today. I'd love to see them rally a bit further. Of course, the market doesn't care what I want. And I notice the people who are looking at the charts on these treasury bonds is beginning to say, well, you know, this is good technical action. Well, it's been a steady rally, I think mostly on short covering, maybe a little bit of bargain hunting in some quarters, although I would put inverted commas around the word bargain. This is top formation extension, so I'd love to see them spike a bit higher. And give me an opportunity to sell in what was an overbought market up in the middle to little and upper middle region of the overall top formation. I've done that a couple of times this year and taken some profits, as you know, on bonds, and I'm looking to sell again, but I may not get something that I find irresistible in terms of the price action before I go away on holiday in August. Now, and JGBs are in the same category, the Japanese government bonds, of course. In the currency market, say the big story here today is a bit of a dollar rally. It's been soft recently. I think this is really a flash in the pan rally. For instance, against the yen, it rallied up when the news came out to 109.40. It's back down to 108.80. Euro dollar fell down to 123. Well, it's not all that far above. It's one, excuse me, 123.23, down 86 cents as I speak. So there were some bold forecasts in one of those Bloomberg stories that I posted. Somebody commenting on the dollar's rally today, saying that he felt, I think, that we'd see 115 against the euro, either by the end of the year or sometime next year. I don't buy it in terms of the technical action. I think we'll see the euro continue to range somewhat higher. In other words, we'll continue to see the dollar range somewhat lower against most currencies. But I don't expect any collapse, as you may recall. Now, looking at the metal markets, which is a major interest of mine, as you know, has been for really quite some time. Now, having taken a lot of profits on silver, and remember, I'm playing this very much on a baby steps basis because of the volatility, so I buy on the easing and I sell on the rallies, taking profits. And I bought back a position. I got a 4 cent spread on the December contract, and therefore I was quoted 635.39 on the December contract. It was down about 20 cents at the time, which I bought. So I bought at 6.39. After hours trading, I think we're it's about 6.43 here right now. But I've got orders below the market to buy, and I've got orders above the market to take profits. And right now I've got, oh gosh, about 25% or less, maybe 20% of the maximum position that I had in this baby steps operation, because silver's been quite strong recently and causing me, enabling me to lighten a lot. And gold getting caught in here today, like everything else on the dollar's rally, but 401.75 down 6, that's not a big sell-off, and there doesn't seem to be any panic in the mining shares, leading mining shares like Newmont Mining, although it's down a little bit, but well off the lows for the day. So that's pretty much it. I'll just look at a couple of the base metals, and I noticed that nickel was up in here today. That's a leader. My lead down, but only $3 overall. Most are quiet, tin up a tiny bit, but just generally steady. I do, as I say, like this area. But if I'm wrong and we get a whacking great rally in the dollar, they'll all come tumbling down. But I do not expect that. And in terms of playing these, aside from silver, which I like for its volatility and because it's a great gold proxy, and I'm very bullish on gold, as you know, but whatever gold does on the upside, silver will do a whole lot more, ditto on the downside. So it's a double-edged sword, inevitably. And I had one subscriber, Jay, who sent in a message saying, "Would David please comment on soybeans, and does he still hold the position purchased in very early June?" Yes, I do, Jay, and I think I mentioned that 2 days ago in the audio, but I will mention it again. And it was an absolute dog of a trade. I mean, I think it was my third trade in silver. I beg your pardon, in soybeans this year, And having taken profits on the other two, not that big, modest profits. But so soybeans had fallen quite sharply, and then they began to firm up. There's good upward dynamic, and I bought at the higher side of a rally in June, and its position's been pretty much underwater ever since. Now I was tempted in for two reasons. One, still it had seen a sell-off, and it had a very big backwardation, which it still has. In other words, there's a shortage of nearby soybeans. And also, I read the weather reports on that, and they're not the most accurate things in the world, as you can imagine. And they were forecasting some pretty dry weather in July, and hot dry weather in the U.S. growing regions. I don't believe that's materialized. They're certainly nowhere near to the extent that they were forecasting back in June. And so the soybeans have drifted lower. So why have I held on to this? Because I'm not in the business of running losses. I'll give something a little bit of time to develop, but I don't like running losses. Well, A, because it's a small position. I've perhaps overstayed because of the backwardation. I had thought initially of adding to it on easing, but then when it eased a little bit more rapidly than I wanted to see, and so that caused me to back off, and so I've tolerated it. But the sensible thing to do would for me to do would be that if it hasn't shaped up in here considerably before I go away at the end of this month, that I should probably bite the bullet and kick the thing out. I should have sold the soybeans and held on to my orange juice, where my tight stop got hit last week, as you may recall. Bent a good technical action in here. Juice at 68.10, up 90 cents, and that's on the September position. And I maintain, as I said yesterday, that following the initial spike off the low, we're in the slower ranging phase of ascent, which on a chart will look a little bit more like a staircase. And then that'll eventually roll over and go into a lengthy pullback and base extension phase. And I know from my emails that some of you are still long juice, and well done you. Have a good evening.